Some of you are laughing right now, and Tim Hawkins has given this hundreds of times to thousands of people, but there might be some of you that might be offended right now by some of the things that were said in there. But according to the surveys we did last year, two of the things that popped up on our surveys from you here at G&G was, number one, last week's lesson that JD talked about was anger, and today's lesson, which is controlling my tongue. Some of you put on there, you have a problem with that. And I'll be quite honest with you, so do I at times. If we're honest with ourselves, we probably all could say at times there might be some trouble with our tongue. Now, although that is kind of funny, and I have, since I watched that this week, picked up a couple of Christian cuss words that I caught myself saying just in casual conversation, it is a problem. And the ironic thing of this is, in the middle of the week when I was working on my lesson, sitting there at the desk, had all my stuff spread out on the desk, my commentaries, my papers, and everything, my two-year-old grandson walks in and says, "What are you doing, Pap?" And he crawls up on my lap. And I said, "Well, I'm working on the message for this week." And as he looks at all the stuff on my desk, he looks up and says, "Well, crap." You know, so where did he pick that up at? So I start thinking, okay, did my two-year-old grandson hear me say that at some point in time, outside doing something, just say something like that? And the point is, you might think that's kind of cute, but the main point is, he heard that somewhere. It could have been from the Cartoon Network, as far as I know. It could have been from his pap, but he picked up on it just like that. So those words, and now I got to listen to him this week, and we have a four-year-old grandson, and the things they say, they pick up on them so fast. The tongue can be so deadly sometimes and say things that maybe we normally wouldn't say. And I honestly believe that our anger and our language are tied together, because when I say things I shouldn't say, it usually comes out of frustration or anger. See, I was not raised in a Christian home, and most of you know that. And so my language was not very appropriate. I didn't know it at the time because I was around it all the time, so I just thought it was the usual thing. One of my first times ever getting in trouble in grade school was my mouth. I said something to a classmate that I shouldn't have had, and next thing I know, I'm in the hallway getting a lecture, and I said, "You know, Mrs. Cleveland, what did I do wrong?" I just thought it was normal. Then I started to find out there were things in public that weren't really normal, especially in a classroom. Maybe you can relate to this. But I can tell you, since I've given my life to Christ, he's taken most of that and I've allowed him to work through my life, where my tongue has definitely been tamed. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. I'm not going to sit here in front of you and say it is perfect. Some of you might say, "Well, Wayne, I've been around you enough and know it's not perfect." All right? But I've allowed him to work through me. But I can tell you, in those times when I get angry and frustrated, usually when I'm by myself in the shop working on something, it comes out. It resurfaces. I allow the devil to get in there and just use it in that instant of anger and say something I shouldn't say. When you come in today, you were given a handout in your packet of information, that white thing that has scriptures and fill-ins. I want to get right to a scripture to bring this home, because you may be thinking, "Wayne, I don't know why we're talking about this." Well, I'm here to tell you, would you at least agree with me that there is a problem with people's tongues in society? Would you agree with me that you're hearing things you wouldn't have heard 15, 20 years ago on the news media, on TV? Things that are said that you never would have heard said 15, 20 years ago. And going back to JD's lesson last week on anger, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, this is Paul who wrote the biggest part, big part of the New Testament, speaking to the church of Ephesus. He says, "In your anger," he says, "do not sin." And then he goes on to say in verse 29, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up according to their needs, what it may benefit those who listen." Think about that. He says, use stuff that is helpful for building up others and benefits those who listen. So after my grandson said that, the entire week that we were with him, because his dad had surgery and he was at our house a little bit this week, I started watching myself. Am I saying things that are appropriate for my two-year-old grandson to hear? Am I speaking the right things? Is my tongue saying what God would want a two-year-old to hear? So I had to change, because it says, I don't need to let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth, but only what is helpful. And if that 2-year-old grandson is listening to me, what am I saying to him that is going to help him in life, to build him up? I can tell you this, your first fill on this is, do my words benefit those who are listening? So you have to ask yourself, first and foremost, am I saying something that's going to benefit the people that are listening? Now, I know there's a lot of idle talk. We have that. We have idle conversation in our lives. That's unavoidable, whether it be at work or when you're out shopping or doing whatever. But the bottom line, we have to train ourselves to think, is what I'm saying going to benefit those who are listening to it? And we would say a lot of times, there's times we don't benefit by what we say with those around us. Now, if you go look up the word profane, the Latin word for is profanus, which literally means outside the temple. So profanity, as those things originally meant, was those things that were to desecrate that which was holy. So I ask you, is what you're saying a holy saying? I just want to say, profanity will used to be represented by the secular indifference of religion or religious figures. In other words, things that they didn't care were indifferent to what we believed. Have you ever been watching a movie and they bleep out a 4-letter word, but then in the next sentence you hear the Lord's name taken in vain? Happens all the time. Because they don't care what you as a Christian think or believe. They're indifference. So they're going to put it in there. Until we stand up and make a difference. This happens. If you've watched any kind of movies, I've heard that. That's when you got to make a decision. Am I going to watch something that's going to take my Lord's name in vain and change to something else? So it's those things. And we're not just talking about profanity. We're talking about anything that comes out of a mouth that is unwholesome. It is said that the average person speaks 80 to 90 different words per day. I'm not saying 80 to 90 words total, but your language would have less than 100 words per day. But on average, the average American will speak 2 to 3% of that would be profanity or something cruder or vulgar. Think about that. Now, you may work in a workplace where you're not around that. When I taught school for 30 years, never heard any of that stuff. But working in the field I'm working in now, in a different field, I hear it from people, I guarantee it's more than 3%. It might be 15, 20%. Because it seems like they can't have a complete sentence without putting some kind of vulgar language in the sentence. I'm thinking, why do you need to say that in the middle of this sentence? But it's what they're used to. It's their language. It's what they're used to speaking. And it has an effect on those around them. It has an effect on me. So the thing is, what is my tongue saying? What is it doing? Even with movies now, we have this media that the ratings are messed up. We have now PG-13 and PG and rated R. The language is in them. And I'm seeing things on cartoons now that would never have been on the TV when I was a kid. Little words since I started this teaching that I'm picking up on, like, man, they did say that in that cartoon. Why would they need to put that in there for my grandchildren here? So now we've had to start filtering a little more, even on the Cartoon Network. The FCC has their do not say list. You can't say this on the public airways. If they do, they shut you down, whether it be TV or the radio or whatever. There's always that delay where they said they can just kind of cut you off. But I'd like for you to think about this. Not only the FCC list, but I'd like for you to think of the GAL list, which is that next fill-in, which is your God-appropriate list. You need to start asking yourself, in the midst of your conversation, is this something that would be appropriate for me to use? Would this bring glory to God? Would this benefit, it's not scripture we just went over, would that benefit those who are listening to me? I can tell you there's times in my life what I'm saying is not benefiting anybody, especially myself. And I've had to change it. I even looked up, there are blogs now. You can go on and put words that you feel are inappropriate. There are up to 300 words they say that you should not use or inappropriate to use, whether it be profanity, crude, rude, vulgar, whatever. The letter A, I even looked at all the ones for A. There were like 37 different words started with A. They said these are offensive and you should not use these words. So there are words on there that I was using sometimes thinking, well, some people think this is offensive. Think about that. Is it a problem? Do we need to have this today. I think we do. It used to be another thing that I could call you a dirty, rotten pot licker, and the only two people that would affect would be me and you. Go on. But now what happens when somebody says something? It's put on social media. It's put out there. Now hundreds or thousands or even millions of people, guess what, are involved in the conversation. I'll give you a perfect example this week. And if you listen to K-Love, what you do from time to time, maybe you heard this. A young woman posted a video of her husband or her boyfriend, new boyfriend, eating a Kit Kat. Anybody hear that story? Eating a Kit Kat. Apparently he didn't break it right, or I didn't watch the video. He didn't break it, or he bit into it the wrong way. And so she posted this video because she thought it was kind of cute. Well, now the country is taking sides and saying, you need to break up with this guy because he doesn't know how to break a Kit Kat, the proper way, so dumping. So now this whole thing is blown up. It's all over the news now. If you listen to K-Love or some of those other Christian networks, they've kind of made fun of it, but it's none of your business how he eats his Kit Kat. And you don't need to break up with him because he chomped in. And then some lady from Hershey, Pennsylvania calls in and says, we know the Hershey bars, there's lines in those, and you're supposed to break these off one piece at a time and eat those a piece at a time. I'm thinking, you can't tell me how to eat my Hershey bar. If I want to chomp half of it, I'm chomping half of it. I don't care how many lines are on it. Why is it important to you in Pennsylvania when I'm eating my candy bar in Ohio? But that's what it is with social media now. So it's not just what we have here. It's everybody gets involved in it, and you're asked to take sides, are you not? And you choose sides. And now this girl's in a dilemma. Do I dump this guy because everybody's telling me to dump him because he didn't eat the Kit Kat just right? Think about that. It's different. If you're raising teenagers, you have another thing that we didn't have to face raising our boys 20 years ago. It's a social media thing. They said in a survey this week that at any given time during the day, 45% of teenagers are on a social media device, either on their phones, iPad, tablet, internet, whatever. Now, I'm not saying it's all bad because most of our parents here, you're monitoring what your kids are on. But there are children out there who get zero monitoring and not only being exposed to the language that's right around them, it's anything that's out there in the world. Now they're being exposed to it, and it's hard to monitor it. It really is. They go on to say one thing. Never write or post something or say something in your anger. Would you all agree with that? You've all been there and done that, said something or posted. They say, take a deep breath, get back away from it, write it down, go back to it later. Because once it's out there, guess what? It's out there. It's not coming back. And they'll find it. I know several years ago when we started having as teachers, having background checks. And some of these teachers I taught with all of a sudden started having things popping up that happened in their college days. Had nothing to do with the way they were living now. Now it's even multiplied times over when it comes to social media. Because once it's out there on the cloud, it's out there forever. Now there are things that we believe growing up, and getting into the meat of this lesson, that we believe that we found out later weren't true. Can you, as a kid, did you ever believe that if you touched a toad, you're going to get what? Warts. You all believe that. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you believe that, it is not true. I've handled many toads in my life, and I do not have warts. You don't get warts from handling a toad. Okay? Did you ever believe that bats were blind? I believed that at one time in my life. I was told bats are blind. Well, they've told us now. There are certain bats, the bigger bats, they say their eyesight is 3 times ours. Now, I don't know how you determine that. Do you put a bat in front of a thing and you have it pick out a letter and say, well, man, that bat can see good. I don't know. They say it can see 3 times what we can see. Okay. Now, Janice used to have this habit. She liked to crack her knuckles. You got somebody that's around you that crack your knuckles, it just drives you. This drove me nuts. So I always say, that's going to give you arthritis. You need to quit that. Well, Dr. Bernstein, a rheumatologist, found out this week that has nothing to do with arthritis. You can crack your knuckles. It does not give you arthritis, he says. So now I've got to come up with a different excuse to have her not crack her knuckles when she's riding in the car. That's one thing about being on the bike. She can crack them all she wants. I don't hear or don't see it. So Mount Everest is not our tallest mountain. If you've climbed Mount Everest, I'm here to tell you, you did not climb the highest mountain we have. The highest mountain we have is actually in Hawaii. It's just that part of it's under the water, so you'd have to go down into the water and climb part of it up to get the tallest mountain we have. Now, above sea level, Mount Everest is taller above sea level, but there is a mountain in Hawaii that is actually taller than Mount Everest. Bulls do not get angry at the color red. You know, the little matador's got the red thing out there. Bulls are colored, cattle are colorblind. So it doesn't matter what color you put out there. They're mad because you're sticking a big needle in their back. That's why they're mad and trying to kill you. All right? It's not the red thing that's making them mad. I said all this to get to this point. And here's the one you all have heard and you grew up with it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is an absolute lie. Words can destroy. Words can tear you apart. What you say affects the people around you. Your tongue has the power within it to build into people's lives and to destroy people's lives. There is power in what you say, and especially when it comes to God's Word, because God's Word is alive. You understand that? It is different than any book in the world because His Word is alive. And when you speak God's Word, you can speak life and you can speak death. There's power in what you say. There are power in your words. Some of the most famous people are famous because of quotes they said. You think back to when you were in school. Some of the people you were taught, you remember who they were because of a line they said. Because the word spoke into your life and it was powerful and you grabbed a hold of it. And that's the same thing you and I can do. And now what it is, especially with younger people, it's been multiplied because I don't have to be in your presence to intimidate you to say something. I can post it on social media and I can make you feel bad being hundreds of miles away. And that's what our younger people are facing today with the language of people. Just because you post it doesn't mean it's not. I've heard people say, well, I can put it on there. It's not the same as saying it. It absolutely is the same as saying it if you post it. If you put it on social media, it's the same as saying it. Our focus verse comes from Proverbs chapter 10. It's going to come up on your screen. Let us please recite this together. It says, the words of a good person give life, like a fountain of water, but the words of the wicked contain nothing but violence. Underline that first sentence. The words of a good man give what? I just told you it gives life. There is proof from Proverbs chapter 10. The words of a good person can give life. You have in the power of your tongue the ability to give life to people. The ability to give something positive in somebody's life. You're here today and all of you can tell me someone is positive in your life because they spoke things in your life. They're your friend, they're who your best friend or whatever because they speak things into your life that are good. If they spoke things that are bad, they wouldn't be in your life. You don't hang around people like that. The words of a good person give life. It goes on to say, like water. You know, we can't live very long without water. Our day goes better when somebody speaks into our life. That's good. Let us pray. Father, we are here today to discuss our tongues. And whether we want to admit it or not, it is a problem, not only in society, not only in our culture, but with some of us. I myself, Lord, struggle with this from time to time, not saying the right thing, not speaking life, not speaking the positives. So, Lord, we pray today that we'll find out what your word says, what you mean, how important it is to you, and how we can give life to others. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Right into some scripture. It says right here, I've already shared Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Unwholesome, if you look up the root word, the Latin word for that is, it means spoiled fruit or rotten meat. It means any kind of thing come out of your mouth that would be foul. The opposite of that is wholesome. I looked up. It says wholesome is constructive, encouraging, and uplifting. So if you want to change that around and say something that's wholesome, you're speaking uplifting and encouraging words to somebody. And we live in a society, would you agree with me, that people out there need to hear something uplifting and something encouraging because they're hearing enough negativity in the news. I don't even hardly watch the news anymore. I don't like turning it on because it all seems to be negative because everybody jumps in. And the one thing they said in a report I listened to this week, there's very little forgiveness in America anymore. because you choose to take sides. And this poor guy that bit into the Kit Kat the wrong way, now the world has taken sides. Now you're all involved in that because I mentioned it to you, so you're going home and try to find that, aren't you? But anyway, speaking something that's encouraging, constructive, and uplifting. Ephesians chapter 4, he goes on to say this, nor should there be any obscenity, any foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. This covers everything that's rude, crude, obscene, all those things, all that humor. It's okay to say that joke around the water cooler, get everybody to laugh. I'll be the cool Christian, right? No, this takes care of that. Foolish talk or coarse joking are out of place. Now, when I used to coach, we always had that locker room coaching thing. I thought it was a cool thing to do. I look back now, that was wrong. Those coaches' jokes shouldn't have been part of that. Or the girls or guys not out, and it's okay to know. He's saying right here, this is God's word. None of that should come out of our mouths. James 1:26, and I have quoted this to some of my Christian friends at the time that I've worked with. It says this, if any of you thinks himself to be religious, in other words, if you think you've got it going, and if you think you're doing the right thing, you're going to church, you're doing all the things that you think God wants you to do, and yet you cannot bridle your tongue, it goes on to say, you deceive your own heart. It says right there, it deceives your own heart. You deceive yourself. It goes on to say this, that his man's religion is what? What's that last word say? It's worthless. We are told right here in God's word that if we can't control our tongue, perceived by those around us, is saying, then it's worthless because you can't control what you say. That's what God's word says. It destroys your testimony. And your witness is ineffective. And the fourth commandment, if you're not familiar, God came down to his people early in the lives of his people in Exodus chapter 20. He says, you need a set of rules. So he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And in that fourth commandment, he says, do not misuse my name. In other words, don't take the Lord's name in vain. And yes, I've heard Christians do that from time to time. I said, what'd you just say? Did you just say God, but you're not referring to him? I don't understand that. Don't misuse my name, he says. That's one of the first commandments he gave his people. In other words, is what we're saying, is it going to minister grace? Is it going to point them to Christ? In other words, my word should build up and not tear down. Is what you're saying in your conversation building up in people's lives or is it tearing people down? We have to be very careful about that. It's very easy to tear down. It's much easier to tear down than build up because if I want to build up in your life, I want to give you a positive, that means I've got to get involved emotionally and maybe even get some of my time to help you in something. But if I tear you down, I don't have to be invested in it whatsoever. I can just say it and go on. Are our words building up? Or are they tearing down? And here's another thing. My tongue will reveal what's hidden in my heart. Deep down in your heart, especially when you're angry or upset, it's going to come out on the tongue. If I'm working and something doesn't go the way I think it should go, and I get mad, those things that used to be within me that Christ has kind of suppressed in my life, they'll just pop out. Janice has heard him several times because after I blow up and need something moved in the shop, I'll go get her and she'll come out and say, why don't I come out here? Because something, so hun, it's already happened. You just happen to be the brunt of my anger right now. And it comes out because it's down there in my heart. At that time, Satan gets a hold of it and he says, and then it comes out. It's usually I'm working myself. I'm working somebody else's. I'm calm and relaxed, but I get her by myself. Satan uses the opportunity, and it comes right out. It's right there. It's right there. Maybe you don't have a problem. And here's why I think this is very important for us today. If you've taken class 201 with me, you've heard this. The Barna Group, which there's a lot of polls out there, a lot of surveys and stuff that I don't pay attention to, but Barna Group is one of those that surveys and does things, I think, the right way. They surveyed people from like 18 to around 40 years old, and they asked them a couple questions. Question number one was, how many of you know someone who calls herself a Christian? This is good. Because they said 85% of the people they polled said they knew somebody called a Christian. They call themselves a Christian, which means that we have an opportunity as Christians to touch 85% of those people polled. If they know somebody that's called a Christian, then we should be able to affect their lives, correct? For Jesus? The second question, how many of you see a difference in the way they live and talk? This is what's scary. They said only 15% of those people surveyed saw a difference in the lives of those around them that called themselves Christian. Only 15%. And I honestly believe it's because of our anger and our language that help us or destroy our actions that 70% of those people they thought were Christians didn't see a difference in their lives. Because you and I both know if we say something out of context, boom, they'll pick up on that right away. I always thought in 30 years of teaching, if I had to tell my students I was a Christian, I wasn't living a very godly life. I shouldn't have to tell you that I'm a Christian. You should be able to see that after you're with me for a while. Would you agree with me? There should be a difference in my life. I'm not perfect, absolutely not. But I believe that language and the anger, I think they're connected, I think that destroys, and that's why they see 70% of the people surveyed didn't see a difference in the lives of those around them that called themselves Christians. Think about that. So what I have to ask myself now daily is, am I in that 15% where you can see a difference in my life, or am I in the 70% where you can't tell me from the rest of the world? Think about that for a second. I've worked with some Christians and non-Christians, and I tell you, there's been times when the Christians' language that I work with, who call themselves Christian, was worse than the ones who were non-Christians. They told you they didn't believe in Jesus. But their language is better than some of the people I worked with that were Christians. I can tell you, when I have a lack of prayer and a lack of study, and maybe I'm not involved in ministry the way I should, that's when this thing starts creeping up on me. If I'm in God's Word and spending time in prayer and study and allowing Him to teach me, it's not a problem for me because He's in control. I've got that relationship with Him. I can tell you when I go to Haiti, those of you who have been in Haiti, you'll never see this problem with me in Haiti because we are relaxed down there. I'm surrounded by good, solid Christians, and we have a mission, and we have a task, we have something to build, and we get to it, and we do it. I never lose my temper down there. Never get aggravated, never, because we're just having fun doing, because we're doing God's work. If I could just bottle it up and bring it back here with me, my wife would be so happy. Most of you know I'm a member of Bikers for Christ. And when I took, before I could get the patch, to ride with that patch on the back of that bike, I had to make a covenant. And part of that covenant was this, that I would not partake in any crude, rude, or vulgar language or tell any coarse jokes. It's because the moment I'm caught telling those, my patch is gone. And as an elder in a chapter, if I hear any of my members doing that, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take their patch. Why? Because we're expected to live, while in the biker community, we're expected to not to partake in that, to be a little different. And it kills our witness. Not only my witness, but for the entire Bikers for Christ. And that's why you take your patch if you're involved in any of that. Because they expect it to be different, to be set apart. So here's the thing. I can come and take communion every Sunday. I can come to church every Sunday. I can do all the things. But if my practices aren't put into my life, it's not going to mean anything. In other words, if I'm without obedience to God's Word, if I'm not taking God's Word in and being obedient to it, my outward practices are going to fail. I'm going to be a failure in God's eyes if I'm not obedient to His Word. If I'm not listening to His Word and letting it speak into my life, going to fail according to Him. I'm not going to make a difference in that person's life. I'm not going to be a positive influence in their life. It's not going to happen. Because a changed life will serve others and build in others' life. I'll speak life into people. I'll be encouraging to people. I'll lift them up, no matter what the circumstance is. Wayne, you don't understand this person I work with. There is no way. I said, yeah, you can. You can be the difference in their life if you allow God to work through you. You understand, I'm around this language every day. Pray that God will help you get through it and be an influence on their lives. One of our members in program one night said that they had a problem with a coworker with the language, and finally it affected them, and they said, could you just please, it's affecting me, could you please just watch what you're saying? And now it's changed, and their language and their life has changed. But I said earlier, you have a chance to speak life and the death. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. In the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, does anybody know how God created the world? God created the things. He spoke things into existence. If you read Genesis 1, God spoke life. He spoke you and I. He spoke the world and things into existence. He spoke it. So the tongue has the power. And we are created in whose image? His image. But if you read about five chapters later, guess what? When people made a mess of things and God got angry, he says, enough's enough. And he said, Noah, build an ark. And you get your family and you get all those animals on the ark because I'm going to flood the world and destroy everything. And he did. He spoke destruction and death into the world. And everybody but Noah's family and him and those animals on the ark passed away. So in the beginning of the Bible, you can see your tongue has the power to speak life and your tongue has the power to speak death. Now, you want to know how important your words are? I told you a little bit ago about a 2-year-old grandson who sat on my lap and said the word crap because he's heard it from me or someone else. Well, here's two precious. These are the two probably most precious people in my life right now. Well, I have Janice. Is she here? She might be outside. Maybe Janice is first, maybe second or third. Just trying to save face there. But anyway, I'll be honest with you. These are the guys right here. This is Boston and Caden. They love Pap. They love coming to Papa Nana's house. They're there. Nana watches them every day, 5 days a week. They love coming to our house. You're going to tell me that I don't have the ability to speak into their lives, positively, negative? I can speak life into their lives, or I could be the guy who was negative to them all the time, and I can tell you, they'll hang on the words that Pap says, and I can definitely affect their lives by what I say. Don't have to do a thing. I can affect them by what I say. I can speak life, or I can start speaking negatively in their life, which is going to bring death into their life. I tell you what I do for my grandchildren, the children every day. These two guys had prayer wrapped around them before they were ever born, because the moment I found out my daughter-in-laws were pregnant, I started praying God's favor in their life. I started praying that God would show them blessing. I was praying that God would be with them every day, that they would be raised in a Christian home, that they'd be raised by God's word and his instruction. I pray that every day for my family. I speak life and blessings into my family's life. And I pray that every day for those two guys right there. God, please be with them. May your hand be upon them and show them favor. And may they grow up to know who you are and follow your ways. You have that ability, people, in your lives with what you say. So, you have the ability in life. And you can choose. And I've been this way. When we can speak negatively in somebody's life, I can tell somebody. And as a kid, you might tell somebody, you're ugly. They may not be ugly, but that's the thing you said. You just joined a crowd. You're an ugly person. Or have you ever called somebody stupid and not really mean it, but yeah, you're so stupid. Well, even if you're not meaning it, and you call somebody stupid, guess what? That's still a negative. You're not speaking life into that person. You can call them stupid. And if you'll notice, I got chains wrapped around these negative words. I'm here to tell you that every time you call somebody a name or say something or you hate them, it's like wrapping a chain around their neck. And how many of those weights can a person take before they break? Every negative context you use, every word you use in hate or stupid or ugly or whatever your word would be, you say, well, Wayne, this is childish stuff. Well, think about what we say as adults. Put that word in there you would say to somebody. And you keep piling those on there. And they keep hearing them not from you, but from everybody else. And finally, that weight becomes too much. And sadly enough, you'll hear on the news from time to time a young person who couldn't take it anymore. Because those things become such a burden in their life, they got weighted down. I'm here to tell you, your words have weight. Your words are weighted. If you use negative and things that aren't wholesome into somebody's life, you're speaking negativity in their life. Versus maybe showing somebody and speaking love into somebody's life. Maybe you speak love into their life. Maybe you be nice to a person who maybe doesn't deserve to be nice, someone to be nice to, but you decide to be that person that's nice. Or maybe you decide to tell someone, instead of saying you're ugly, you decide, no, you're a beautiful person. I don't care what the world says about you. God sees you as a beautiful person. He created you in His image. You're a beautiful person. And maybe you're going to be the person this week to make them find how beautiful they are. Now, we did put a G&G shirt on this person because this is what we want you to be at G&G. We want you to be that example, that person, that you, they find love, they find favor, they find they're nice, and they find that I can be a beautiful person. No matter what the world has told them, you can be that person that speaks to them. Because it tells you this, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, He says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And if you're full of hate and anger and those kind of things, this is what's going to come out in your language and speak into people's lives. And they don't need to hear that. This is what's going to come out. He said, what's in your heart is what's going to come out. So I'm asking you today, what are you putting in? If you're putting in what's on social media, what's on the news, what's all that stuff, this is what's going to come out because that's what you see in our world today. But he goes on to say, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings things out of the evil stored up in him. So if you're storing up good things, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? This is what they're going to see in you. If you're putting good things in, the good things, the things that are in the Word of God, that talk about love, loving your neighbor as yourself, helping people find in them what God sees in them. You have that choice. I want you to understand that you might not take this as a serious teaching, but this is serious because you and I have power in what we say to speak into people's lives. And if you're here today and you're one of these people that's all you feel, let us help you overcome. See me after the service. Talk to us. We want you to know you're not this person the world tells you. You're that person right there that God sees. That person that's beautiful. And you have great potential in your life. In 30 years of education, somebody asked me, well, Wayne, what's the trick or why are you so effective? Number one, when my kids come in the classroom, I tried to make them laugh. Because we have so many young people today that don't ever laugh. They have nothing to be happy about, so I make them laugh. Number two, I made them believe in themselves that they could be what they wanted to be. And then and only then would I try to teach. Because if they didn't feel good and if they didn't believe in themselves, it doesn't matter what you're teaching them. You have that power today in your tongue to make a difference. I'm here to tell you. Because we respond in different levels with our words. Number one, sometimes we respond because we hit our hand and we smack our hand and we say something out of context because we're mad and angry. Or use some kind of word because it's a negative situation. Your opposing team, star, just hit the winning shot. He hit the winning shot, and as he's going off the court, he kind of does one of these things to you, and you just want to go up there and rip his head off. And you say some things you probably shouldn't say. You respond to something. Some people use it just to draw attention. You know those people, you've seen them out. I'm going to say these things just to draw attention to myself. Some people use it, it's automatic. They don't know any different. I was that way once in my life. It was automatic to me. Well, you mean this was wrong? I didn't know it was wrong. It's just a natural response. And the last level is that abusive level where you use to offend, to talk down to somebody, to intimidate them, or to bully them. Or we can choose not to use those and speak into somebody's life. James, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus, says this in James chapter 3. Ships, as an example, he says, though they're so large, they're driven by strong winds. They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. He says, likewise, your tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. He goes on to say, all kinds of animals can be tamed by mankind, but this only says here, no human beings can tame the tongue. Get this, people. It is a restless evil full of deadly what? Poison. James is telling us, if we're not careful, our tongues can be full of poison. This week I've tried to watch what I say around my grandkids because apparently there's words out there that I say that they're going to pick up right up on. I don't want to speak that in their lives. I want to speak positive, encouraging things into them. What's the next step? If you're having trouble with your words, here's what we need to do. Number one, track your words. If you're having trouble with something, and I did this week, I started tracking that word crap, and I'll get in trouble tomorrow night programming for saying that, but I start tracking that because I don't want to use that. If I'm the one using it, I don't want my grandsons to become part of their language, whether you think it's good, bad, or indifferent. Track it and see how many times you're using it and try to change it. Number two, use discretion when speaking. When you're talking, we end up thinking, am I speaking? Am I demonstrating love here? And number three, the most important, and in that box are scriptures I gave you. I want you to read this week, especially if you're struggling with something. Ask God to help me choose wisely. 1 Peter 3:10 will help you with that. He'll help you choose wisely. Now, number four, it's not worded really correct. It says don't use casual conversation. We're going to have casual. Don't use it in casual conversation. That should be changed. Don't use that offensive or crude or rude language in a casual conversation. There's two scriptures there that will help you with that. Number five, to me, the most important one, be the best example I can be to people. Be the best example I can be. And that next step, maybe here today and you haven't made that commitment for Jesus. I'm telling you, my language would have never changed. My tongue would never change without Jesus in my life. Never would have changed. I'd be the same foul, potty-mouthed guy I was 30 years ago without Christ in my life. Sign up for the baptism interview. Track your inappropriate words. We just talked about that. And I want everybody to please check this last box. I want you to speak positively into somebody's life. Would you do that for me? And for that person, speak positively into somebody's life. Maybe it's a person at work that's annoying you. Maybe it's somebody, nobody else talked to you. But speak something positive into that person's life so you can be the one to start to make a difference in their lives. Young people, you may know someone that was at school. Maybe he's up the street now. The school's out. You might be the person to speak something positive into their life. Make a difference. There is power. Understand this, people. There is power in your tongue and what you say. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Let us pray. Father, we truly give you the praise and the glory for this day. We thank you and praise you, Father, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping us overcome the world. We'd ask and pray, Father, if we do struggle with this inappropriate language or crude or vulgar, if we're in a place where we're surrounded by it, help us to overcome in the name of Jesus. May I not be a part of that. May I be a positive influence. And Father, just after the first service, there's a gentleman that come in and says, I'm going to take this and play this at work so those people I'm working with can know this is wrong. And may we be a positive influence and make a positive impact on somebody's life this week. May we be the ones that make the difference. May we speak life into somebody's life. Put that person in our life this week that we need to speak to, that we could make a difference in their life. May, Father, we just do the right thing and know that in our tongue is the power of life and death. May we choose life today, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.